What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Ukraine, if I can.
Sure, why not? There's the First Amendment. You can talk about it.
Not in my house, there's not, but okay. Mike, I was surprised that I didn't expect Putin to invade the whole country. I thought that he would.
No, I didn't either. He'd stop on the western border of the Donbass, but, you know.
Me too. And I thought the only thing that he would do is expand about 25 miles out of Donetsk and Lugansk in order to get them out of the shelling, the artillery shelling they've been taking from the Ukraine as a buffer.
Yes.
But what's interesting to me, Mike, is that even, you know, like, I guess I misread just how little regard they have for U.S. power and NATO's power. We're absolutely powerless, and it's pretty clear that even with that we're leaving the SWIFT, the oil and gas deliveries out of the sanctions, and Europe, NATO can't survive without Russian oil, frankly. I don't think.
Yeah, they can't. They can't.
Yeah. And the big trick for Putin is to stop as quickly as he can after he's secured Ukraine, which, of course, he's already, you went over it. He's taken, you know, air defense and command and control and the Navy and the Air Force out. And now they're on the outside, all the airfields, you know, so supply, they've cut all the roads coming in from all the NATO countries. But now they're waiting for the substantial reinforcements to link up to make sure that they can't brush aside those roadblocks. And the other thing is they've got to go into the cities now and root out the government, you know, take down the radio and the TV and the phone exchanges and all that. They can do that by bombing, but, you know,
Do that. I mean, the phone exchanges maybe, but as far as radio and TV is concerned, you know, they can jam the existing channels and then rebroadcast their own stuff, to people on the vacant spaces in the radio band. I mean, even the U.S. has got specialized aircraft that can do that.
That's right. But they'll at least need to root out the government and all the sympathizers, the intelligence operators, all the stay-behinds, which I'm sure we've salted them with stay-behinds. I think all organized resistance will be over by Wednesday of next week, probably.
I wouldn't even give it that long. I mean, the Russians are inside Kiev, and there is some resistance there. But if Zelensky thinks that arming the kids, with rifles and telling everybody to make Molotov cocktails is going to be effective, he's grasping at straws here.
Yeah, it's the home guard in World War II for the Germans. The other thing I think is interesting, there's a couple, I love watching this stuff on TV, even though it's a tragedy, but you talked about it, you read it in books about speakers of the House fleeing, right?
Yeah.
And now you can see it on film. This is what it really looks like. I've never seen that before. It's kind of interesting to watch it. It's interesting to watch where they have assault crossings of bridges. I've never seen one live, or things like that. It is interesting to watch. But the thing I wanted to bring up is what you said about Turkey and Turkey allowing access. Turkey's NATO, right?
Yeah.
And the U.S. Navy clears out of the Black Sea. Russian Navy comes in. They're allowed to make pass.
Yes.
Turkey's a NATO member, even though they bought the S-400, and then turned down. If you're going to buy the S-400, we said in a hissy fit, we're not going to sell you these great these F-35s, which they said, okay, keep the F-35s. Turkey's in a position right now where they've got Syria to the south.
Yes.
And Russia, a resurgent Russia to the north. And it's going to be interesting to see how, if Turkey will acquiesce to be able to open up a land route so that Russia could supply Syria through Turkey and not have to do it through air or sea. And how Israel
Yeah,
is gonna,
that would be a, that would be an interesting development.
Now, Israel will knuckle under so fast your head would spin.
Well, you know, Israel is shelling Damascus again while we're all distracted with Ukraine, but Russia has parked like a dozen warships off the coast of Syria now.
I know. And you know, the die is cast. Israel's getting what they can while they can, because once this is over, you know, they're going to have to deal with a resurgent Russia, and who's not going to be putting up with them bombing Russian planes and shooting down Russian, attacking Russian soldiers in Syria.
Right.
If I were the Russians, and this is not original to me, I would link any sort of military aid that we send, we, NATO and U.S., to the Baltic states, to Moldova, to anybody that now will border on Russia or the Ukraine, and say, every ton and every type of equipment that you send there, we are going to match that with shipments to Iran and Syria, and get to the real rulers of this country, and to see how fast, when Israel's ass is on the line, see how fast they buckle under.
Yeah.
So that would be, I think, an excellent way to get them. But Russia's trick is to do that, I think, and also just to keep Germany. If they can keep the gas and oil rolling to Germany, then and France, then there is no NATO, really.
Yeah. NATO's definitely under strain. Not all of the NATO members are on board with this. I mean, Great Britain is, Germany is. But again, Germany's enthusiasm is tempered from the fact that they rely on Russian oil and gas to keep their economy going. And right now, there's no replacement. The United States can't supply them. Qatar says they can't supply them. Saudi Arabia is refusing to turn the valve up on those oil pipelines. And so, yeah, Germany's kind of stuck. They can't really make that much of an enemy of Russia, or Russia will just cut them off.
And by the way, Germany has to be embarrassed when they went on saying they'd like to go through with a Nord Stream, and
yep.
Biden came on afterwards and said, "Oh no, we're going to shut it off like they're Panama or something."
Yes,
It's not a good look all the way around, and we're really looking weak. And, I hope it comes out okay. I'd like to see a demilitarized Ukraine. That's all they're really asking for.
Yeah, well, that's what Putin says they're doing, is they're demilitarizing Ukraine. And so far, they're doing a bang-up job of it.
Yeah, they sure are. But Mike, I also would like to see the end of American interventionism, American exceptionalism, and this empire crap that is just costing us everything we have.
I would like to see that too. I would like to see the direction of the U.S. government turn back to the U.S. And the U.S. is always talking about U.S. domination of the rest of the world. We can't even run this country properly, so we really don't have any business trying to go to the rest of the world and saying, you do things the way we do them.
Yeah, I mean, your point about how can we not beat Afghanistan and think we're going to take on Russia in the Ukraine? I mean,
yeah.
Come on. We're looking really, really weak. NATO is starting to come apart. I think it won't survive this. Maybe we can just go back to being a republic, but I wouldn't.
Oh, I would really like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But that's it for me, Mike. Best to Claire. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, same to you, and I'll forward your message to Claire, and we are going to go to John in Colorado. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. Happy Friday. Couple of things on the Ukraine situation. My wife and I, at our favorite breakfast place, they had the TVs on, and it's Fox News now giving all this stuff. But it's all, you know, there's no, like, where's the fair and balanced reporting? It's all on Ukraine. You know, they never went in and showed any of the problems of the people getting bombed in the Donbass region and all that, all the refugees, all the killings and all that. Everything like that. Once Ukraine starts, okay, they're showing pictures of people hiding in the subways and trying to get out of the cities and all that. And I heard this report that somebody said they shot a Russian plane down, and then you're claiming it was a Ukrainian. Whatever it was, just showed pictures of a fire in a building and all that stuff. But that's the whole problem with this. They're all going, you know, Russia and Putin. You know, he's an ex KGB agent and all that, like the Nazis were all that, and never on the other side.
George Herbert Walker Bush had been ex-head of the CIA.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody, yeah. You know, nothing about the CIA. They instigated the coup in 2014. They're behind a lot of this stuff, probably prodding him in. And, you know, that's the, you're tired of listening to that, but that's all you're going to get if it's not for people like you, American Free Press and all that. I've known about this for a long, long time. That of my family, my wife, she has no clue what's happening. I just said, yeah, well, they've been doing this for, you know, the last 6 years. So, but anyway, that's the kind of thing about that. The other thing, there was a thing years ago, they were claiming, they were showing these, there's an Israeli rabbi going and showing people in the dissidents in Ukraine and even the other side that wanted to be back in Ukraine, and they were starving and all this. They were ex-Holocaust victims. We need food. And they were shoving that out to the public and selling all that. And you look at that and you said, now, you know, you're missing, like I said, where's the other side and all that? Well, they can't make anything out of that. But, yeah, we just, like I said, I have to watch how long this goes. And when it's over with, what's going to happen? Is it going to go back to normal? Can people travel over there? That's what we've been traveling to do for the last 3 years, going to take a river cruise over in Russia. And it looks like we're going to be out of that. We have to go somewhere else. But all the money we spent, do we lose it or have to go somewhere else? That's what I'm upset about. But, let's see what happens, and hopefully this gets done. And like I said, Russia's threatened. It's not like somebody was in our border with Mexico or Canada and started, you know, wanted to go after us, invade us, or, you know, create mayhem and all that. So I hope it gets over with and you just go back to normal and say, here, just you learn whatever happens to Zelensky and all that, whether they put him on trial or that, I don't know, and I don't care. But I know you got to hear it since that's all there is on the mainstream. And so as far as the truckers' convoy goes, I hope everything goes fine. You know, I got this thing about they're going to, Antifa or any of you is going to throw provocateurs and all that, going to try and join the convoy. And whether these guys pick this up or not or don't, and they try to start a big thing, whether they get to Washington and they start something there or on the way or something, I don't know. There's, like I said, it'd be interesting to see what happens on that. So, but, and lastly, this thing you talk about the teachers. Well, I just got a reading a great book about it's put out by American Free Press, Donald Jeffries. Nothing to do. It's called Bullyocracy.
Yeah,
I brought this up to Steve Elkins last Monday, and I had to get off the thing, but I found later on people are picking up on this thing. This is a fabulous book. It's really it's makes you mad and appalled what's going on. Where, you know, you got bullies going after kids, trying to protect themselves, and the teachers, even the courts, the police, the Board of Education, people are not sympathetic. They're going after, and it's just all over the place. You know, I've had some family and even grandkids going through some of this, and I hope it doesn't affect them down the line, but it's they got to do something about this. And like I said, it's not reported.
We're losing our civilization. People are returning to, barbarism.
Yeah, but that kind of stuff, you know, it's appalling to read, but it's a good book. So I applaud him for getting it out there. Anyway, that's my two cents, Mike. Say hello to Claire and have a nice weekend.
Same to you, and we're going to switch over to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I think what Putin did was probably his best choice. Because even if he had a buffer zone, yeah, you agree or disagree?
No, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, it's a harder choice, but it was the right choice. Because that whole cesspool would have just been there, just maybe 20 miles away, and just more the same would have come. And, you know, the reaction I see, I'm old enough, I was pretty young, but I still remember watching on TV all the hysterics about the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
Yeah.
And there is a certain parallel to the behavior and the reactions I'm seeing now in the West to the Islamic Revolution. You know, when you overthrow their overthrow, they really get mad.
Yes, they do.
You know? Yeah, we paid for that country, and dang it, you know, what the hell are you doing taking it away from us? That's pretty much the sentiment I see. And
right. There's a clear parallel between the overthrow leading to a revolution in Iran and the overthrow leading to an invasion in Ukraine.
Yeah, the Shah of Iran was put in there by Kermit Roosevelt, the CIA.
Yes.
You know, it was a coup, just like in the Ukraine. So I don't see where they have any moral ground to stand on. They don't have any at all.
Well, they're not interested in morality. They just want to have a positive number on their stock report every quarter.
Yeah, they want to fleece their country, Ukraine. You know, look at all the corruption, Hunter Biden, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. You know, what Putin should do is go over to Burisma and expose all of that corruption with Hunter Biden, because, you know, one of the talking points coming out of the White House is how corrupt Putin is and how corrupt Russia is. And, you know, Zelensky's got his own problems. He took billions of dollars out of Ukraine. He owns a house in Miami, by the way. That's probably where he's going to wind up.
Yeah, with a plane load of money that he takes, or gold, or what have you. And I'm certain there's hammers pounding on hard drives and people running bleach bit. You know, like Hillary Clinton or a bathroom server. But I want to know if there's any listeners out there who are expatriates, because I don't know if it's going to get any better, and if there's any chance of overturning what's happening to the West here. I mean, I'm just looking at leaving the country. I'd like to know where somebody can give some advice on how to move your money, you know.
Yeah.
And,
if Claire and I were younger, you know, we talked about, you know, leaving the country, but, you know, we're really old and nobody would really have us. I mean, many, many years ago, I was offered the opportunity of employment and citizenship in Australia, and it was very attractive. But at the last second, I said, no, I'm an American. I'm going to go back to America and deal with the problems there. And you know, in hindsight, that was the right decision, because Australia has gone just as fascist as anybody else in the West.
Right. I think the United States is just going to follow that path. And one last thought before I go, the United Kingdom, everything I see out of the United Kingdom, I think we can reclassify it as Rothschild Island. Cause that's
yeah.
Basically, and that's it. And NATO is their military force.
Very much so.
And it's pretty pathetic. Yeah, so that's all I had. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, well, thank you very much for the phone call. We've got other callers waiting on the line, but rather than start one and interrupt it on the commercial break, I'm going to sneak in a little bit of news. Moldovan President Maia Sandu said that many Moldovans want to unite with Romania and then integrate with the EU and NATO. Russia is working to basically thwart that right now, and try and keep that from happening. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. Back with more phone calls after these few words.
Thank you. standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick up on a computer alone.
Back show here. Phones to Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I was just thinking about it and how, like, we can't really consider this to be a big event for the news. Like, this is like Christmas time for the news right now because, like, you know, overall, even though this is a horrible thing, but isn't it like whatever, if it bleeds, it leads? So, like,
yes.
Wars, like, World War III is
like
a big... Yeah. So, in a way, what about a holy war, though? Could you consider this to actually be kind of like a crusade almost, like a worldwide...
Well, you know, the names are kind of fluid. I don't think there's anything. Well, I don't think there's anything holy about any war, no matter what they call it. But no, this one does not seem to follow along religious ideology.
Okay, and you say that because the ones that are in charge of the armies aren't, right?
Well, I'm saying it because, you know, the obvious issue for Russia is that Ukraine has been, you know, shelling the people in the Donbass in violation of the ceasefire. Russia's issue is regarding the placement of NATO weapons close to their borders. So this is clearly a geopolitical issue and not a religious one.
Okay, so let me say it this way then. Do you think that if this war gets big to a world war, like World War III, like people are talking about, you think it, since wars are never set in stone, anything can happen, you think it could convert into a holy war of some type? You know what I mean?
I don't see that happening. I really don't see that happening. I mean, all armies, use God for propaganda purposes. I mean, you've got two armies, and both of them are calling God down on their side and say, God is with us to go and mess with the other people. You know, God wills it. God wills it. But the real driving force of the wars are always about wealth and power and land and making sure that your nation is safe from being invaded.
All right. Well, okay, so I think it might change. So Americans, it's not the first time you were wrong. I could be wrong, too. So Americans aren't safe in the U.S. So early, so it's not just you, but others were mentioning, like, Ukraine.
Now hang on. We're not safe right. in this country if the war goes nuclear. We'll all be on the front lines, and this thing could spin
already
out of control.
No. There was talk in the news. There was a guy that mentioned just recently, I forget what, it was probably Fox. It was either Fox or Liam, it was the only two that I watched. It was one of them. The guy mentioned how Americans were less safe here in America than they were like over in some other country. I think you even mentioned and echoed that same thing.
Well, are you talking about the out-of-control crime?
What happened?
Are you talking about the out-of-control crime ravaging across
exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, that's definitely true. Americans are not safe in the streets. They're not even safe in their homes.
And so, I mean, what's the difference between a war and this point of crime? You know what I mean? This escalation of crime. But then the other thing is, what do you call it? If you take away the COVID-19, right, the whole story and narrative, wouldn't it seem like we were just sanctioned? Right? Doesn't it seem like Americans have been sanctioned in America?
Well,
right? If you take away the story of COVID-19,
I don't
really
know. But, well, I could see how you might interpret it that way. If there hadn't been this whole fear porn over COVID, it would have been just another flu season.
And then therefore, but if everything still fell apart, like it has, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would that mean? You know what I mean? Then there would be no COVID narrative, and people would be like, wait a second, why is everything falling apart?
I reported earlier in the show that Biden's own polling people are saying it's time to say goodbye to COVID and move on because it's not getting any traction with the American people.
Right, and didn't Winston Churchill lie to the UK people about German attack force and that, and make it seem like they were okay when in reality they weren't?
Well, leaders always lie to their people, especially during wartime. You know, think Lusitania, think Spanish mine in Havana Harbor, think torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. And, we've got liars on both sides in this war.
Right. And you know what, now that you mentioned it, now that we're talking about it, I'm glad that we did, because I read the Art of War, and it mentions that in Art of War, you're supposed to keep your enemy, never let your men know when it's bad, because, you know, you're supposed to keep the spirit high in the first place, because you don't want that low morale.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
That's the point of music and banners, too, the reason why flags and symbolism and stuff and music is also supposed to help keep...
Well, it's also part of the process of reassuring the troops that they're doing the right thing.
Right, to keep the rhythm going.
Yep.
Don't think about anything else. Go with the flow.
Well, right, remember, originally drums were a signaling device. We're talking about wars fought before the advent of, radios and such. The idea of the bugle and the drum was to basically, the commander would say, we're going to do this, and there'd be a coded drum beat that the soldiers at the front line could hear, and then they knew what they were supposed to do.
So would you say, well... Okay, so music was once supposedly for healing because that's what churches were meant for. There was supposedly a lot of old churches, cathedrals were designed in such a way that when music was placed in the organ, it would create a frequency, a healing supposedly type frequency. So,
those cathedrals have got fabulous acoustics, and it does make for a very pleasant sound. And it, to your ordinary peasants going to that church, it was an amazing experience. Like a rock concert today, and that was part of selling that whole image.
And so with the war, though, music was also used obviously for signaling, for understanding. So, so basically, you're saying like certain rhythm would. So we could use certain songs to code certain messages or whatever, just by the beat or whatever. So it's pretty cool. I never really thought of it that way particularly, and I'm really into music and war, so that's really cool. So, all right.
Okay. All right. Thanks an awful lot here. And we should be at a break, I think.
Visit our website.
There we are. Okay. We'll be right back.
.org. For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
Our show here, we're going to go back to the phones to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Greetings. I imagine that Putin's next strategy will be to be very magnanimous in victory. What do you think?
Well, he wants the U.S. puppet regime out of Kiev, and so I don't think he's going to let a lot of those U.S.-linked officials remain in power. I think he'll be magnanimous in the sense that Ukraine will go back to being an independent sovereign nation. Of course, Ukraine may then turn around and wish to join the Russian Republic. I mean, they wanted to do that back in 2014. They refused an offer to join with the EU, and that's when the U.S. went on in and ousted Yanukovych.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean he was going to be magnanimous to the dictatorship there or the government there. I meant magnanimous to the people.
Oh, yeah, they've already, they've issued the appropriate orders to try and protect the civilians. And yes. Putin has already said that when this is all over, the Ukrainian soldiers are just going to go home.
Yes, that was my point. I would imagine he is going to take care of all of those would-be leaders or what have you that were making deals with the Western powers, whoever they might be. That he's going to clean up, I'm sure of it. Another thing, if the B-52s get too close to the border, they will be intercepted. So who's ever listening, my advice is to stay the hell away with your airplanes, because you're going to get yourselves in a lot of big trouble.
Well, you know, they're not going to send in B-52s all by themselves. I mean, think about the invasion of Iraq, you know, where you have a wide assortment of aircraft, each with a specific task. You have the stealth fighters going on in to target the like radar installations with laser beams, and then you have other aircraft launching standoff munitions to take out those radar stations. The bombers will, of course, as they did in World War II, have fighter escorts as well. So,
Well, yeah, but today it's not exactly like 1943 or 44 bombing Germany. This is a lot. Things have changed a lot since then, so.
They definitely have. I mean, the weapons are smarter. You know, you don't have to drop the bomb straight down on somebody. You can release it from far away and let it glide on in and hit its target.
Well, anyway, I think once the Ukraine has settled, Russia will be happy because they've got their buffer state, and the Ukrainian people, they're Slavic people. And, this will keep us away from a bigger war. So,
well,
anyway.
I hope this thing is going to settle down, but we do know that tensions are being ramped up deliberately to create a situation in which we'll all go along with a renewed Cold War and spending vast amounts of money on these armaments. But again, one mistake and the Cold War could turn hot.
Well, the military-industrial complex will get its money under Cold War, and Russia will whatever, China will get what they want, and everyone will go back to making money, and we'll all go on. It'll be like 1959 again, where we had stability in a certain sense, and
Yeah, but in 1959, this nation had a strong economy. We'd come out of the post-World War II. We were the only nation that hadn't had its industrial base bombed into rubble. The whole world was coming to the United States for machine tools and everything they needed to rebuild their cultures. We were a major manufacturing power. We don't have that anymore. And so it's not going to be like 1959. It's going to be very rich military industrialists and very poor Americans.
Right. Well, somebody resurrect Ike Eisenhower out of his grave and put him back in office. I'm sure he could do much better than this idiot we have and the idiot we have up here, you see.
Yes, I agree.
Because, again, like I said yesterday, all of these people are being run by people in the shadows. These are not leaders. They're just
like
a bunch of...
Klaus Schwab and George Soros and that.
Yeah, and they're not the top tier either. Klaus Schwab is a robot, too. He's got a chain around his neck, and Soros does as well. There's even people more higher up that, I won't get into. But this is what the problem with the whole business is people thought, well, we'll just get people to roll up their sleeves, take the vaccine, go home and die. But these problems, like we've talked before, are nonlinear. They have backscatter, you see. And, talked
about... Yeah, there's always blowback, and, the people carrying out these frauds, they don't worry about the blowback because it's, the next administration's problem to deal with, And I don't think the jabs were intended to kill us. I think they were intended to turn us into permanent patients and permanent customers for the medical-industrial complex.
But they did anyway.
Well, yeah, they killed... A small amount of people, but everybody else is getting chronically ill because these shots, and there's more confirmation coming out every day that these shots are destroying our natural immunity, which means every little bug that comes along, we're going to be sick and rush to the doctor and rush to the pharmacy, and the money is just going to pour on in.
Right. That's what the business model was. But when you put it out in the real world, it's not a reversible process. So like you said, you get blowback.
Yep.
Anyway, can I ask a question?
What's
the night sky like where you're at in Indiana? Can you see the stars pretty well?
Oh, yeah. When it's clear, it's an even better sky than we had in Hawaii because, you know, we lived just above Honolulu, and there was a lot of light pollution coming from there and from Pearl Harbor. And, you know, I'm really out here in the boonies in Indiana, and, you know, the sky is just amazingly clear.
Well, if you were down in Australia, you must have saw the Southern Cross and all that stuff, am I right?
Yes, I did. I definitely went out at night, and I had a set of binoculars. I didn't have a telescope.
Right.
And it was always kind of weird seeing Orion in the sky with the sword belt pointing up rather than down.
Right. Right. Now maybe you could send a memo to the flat earthers that once you get to the equator, the sky just kind of flips. All right, I'll let you go.
All right, well, thank you very much. And we're going to go to Dustin in New Jersey. Hello, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Did you talk about Melitopol being taken in Ukraine by the Russians?
I saw that, but I didn't put it in the talking points.
Yeah, well, the mayor, like, there was some resistance, not much. The mayor, like, surrendered, so that's gone. You know the E-97 corridor, right, which is the highway going from Crimea over to Kherson?
Yes.
Did you see the video of the Ukrainian convoy just either abandoned or decimated, man?
I did see that. Well, it was decimated and abandoned.
And also, Kherson base, there was a lot of, like, propaganda out there how the Ukrainians took it back. That's gone.
Okay.
The Russians got it. You know that the those guys on the island surrendered, right?
Yeah, they did.
They
made a very defiant speech, and then they said, here are our guns, you know. And, you know, when this is all over, we can gather up all those Ukrainian weapons and, you know, sell them as surplus under the slogan, never fired, only dropped once.
And, you know, that was an Su-27 that got shot down by Ukraine, I guess with a Stinger missile on a building. So they shot down their own plane. And there's a no-fly zone over Ukraine, I believe, right?
But that only applies to civilian traffic.
Well, yeah, there's still some straggler jets that were probably under camouflage and stuff. But you know there was 5 AN-124 Ukrainian planes that left to over the border into the Warsaw, Poland. Those were allowed to leave.
You know, I mean, there were reports Zelensky was getting ready to flee. We know that the Speaker of the Parliament has already bugged out. And, you know, as a matter of fact, when Zelensky was approaching Putin for a negotiations, he specified Poland as where he wanted to hold the talks.
Besides his million-dollar mansion over there in Miami. It's worth a couple million. And he's probably got $1 billion stolen out of Ukraine. But, you know, also, Mike, how is NATO going to rearm the Ukrainian Air Force or soldiers or army if they can't get back in with these planes that are loaded up, you know? That's all nonsense.
The airfields are all under the control. I mean, they might try, you know, a lapse drop or something like that, you know, by parachute. By the time they get down there with these weapons, I mean, I think Russia's going to be in control.
Oh, yeah, they're all hooking up now because I saw a satellite photo. It must have been 500 vehicle convoy, Mike.
Yeah.
Heading from, you know, over by the Belarus border, going through that exclusion zone, right?
Yep.
It must have been 500 vehicles, so they're all getting there. And then there's a rumor they're running out of food and fuel, the Russian soldiers. Like, they're taking it slow, not only to keep the supply lines going, which they're fine with, but also to issue not killing civilians.
Civilians are reporting that the Russians are being very, very careful about it. You know, they're just driving through. They're not causing damage in the Donbass and the countryside. And, you know, Putin's too smart to, risk his supply chain. So I'm sure that those are very much intact. And Ukraine can't do a thing about the supply lines. Their Air Force is gone.
Well, they don't have no supply lines, though, at all. Their communications are all cut. They have no communication. I mean, it's just, and you know what's sad is, like, I saw a video of Zelensky. That could have been filmed days ago, and he could be somewhere else. So it's just all. Oh, and then there's a propaganda thing that how a Ukrainian fighter ace flying a MiG-29 has shot down 7 Russian jets. But that rumor was started on a War Thunder. Yeah. You know, that's that online flying game. So see how propaganda gets around. You know. It's
oh
just,
yeah.
The
first casualty of war is the truth. I think Ukraine has bagged a total of 5 Russian aircraft to
That's
this
nothing.
Point.
That's nothing.
No, not for Russia.
And you know, Mike, I just want everybody to go and look for that video, the E-97 corridor video with the, they just got decimated. And that just tells you, like, they don't control the sky. And, you know, they're still going to be fighting, but I still think it's going to be over by tomorrow or Sunday. I pushed it back to Sunday.
With you, Zelensky, ordering his citizens, to fight, that's an act of sheer desperation. And it shows, how he really doesn't care about the Ukrainian people, to do that. I mean, in the situation that he is in, surrender would be the legitimate thing to do and spare the civilian population. But he's out there saying, make Molotov cocktails and throw them. And, there will be an ugly, ugly slaughter. Maybe that's what Zelensky is after, is a lot of civilian casualties committed by Russia, except that Zelensky has now turned all of the population into combatants and legitimate targets of war.
Maybe they'll drink the Molotov cocktails.
Well, it all depends what you make them out of. I wouldn't go with the gasoline ones, but if you're making the Molotov cocktails with vodka, by all means, take out that piece of cloth, throw away the lighter, and, raise a toast to peace. Anyway, Dustin,
all right,
thanks.
Mike, have a good one.
All right, same to you. We're going to go to Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to tell people about YouTube. It's called Star Wormwood, Ukraine's Chernobyl region, biblical prophecy. It's by channel, capital letters DAHB, like a boy, 007.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, well, Pat, I've tried to communicate to you before. This is not a religious program. We're dealing with events, on the ground in Ukraine and Chernobyl.
All right, listen. I thought about maybe they want Kiev because they have turned about 12 houses into a big Chernobyl, which means Chernobyl, if you say it. And the Bible talks about millions in the valley of decision. Well, if a rocket or something that you talk about, they could send from a distance, should hit that same spot where Chernobyl was, all of that stuff would go back up in the air.
It's already happened. It's already happened. Reported it earlier in the show. A missile hit one of the storage containers at the Chernobyl plant. And there has been a radiation release. They don't know how bad it is yet, but they're going to have to get a crew in there to get those spent reactor rods back in water, back in boron, and properly separated, or they're going to start fissioning.
Well, you remember before that it was headed to groundwater. They couldn't stop it burning right through the ground. If it hit groundwater, it would be all over the world like one of molecule of Caesar's breath. But
China syndrome.
A lot of us were on fasting for 2-3 weeks, and the day that we went off is the day they shored it up. But I don't think anybody be fasting now. I mean, I'm sure some people are, but they don't know all these things going on, right? I'm telling you right here about that spot in Kiev. Why would Russia want to go through that again?
Well, I think Russia was concerned that in desperation, Zelensky would start digging up those spent reactor rods and start dropping them on the Russian troops here. I don't know. I thought it was a dumb idea for them to go there. Anyway, listen, Pat, we're running out of time. I got a bunch of callers, and we're going to go to Miles in Maine. What's on your mind, Miles?
Hey, aloha, Michael. It's good to hear Dustin, and I hope his family's okay in Ukraine over there, if he has any left over there. With the success that the truckers have had, I think they could maximize their efficiency by maybe they don't announce where their protests are going to be, and they just, you know, keep it amongst themselves, keep it out of the media, and let the media just show up. They might even get more interviews from the media once they do show up.
Well, I don't think they announced their path and where they're stopping for the benefit of the media. They are trying to get popular support for what they're doing. And so, you know, they're obviously this does engender a certain amount of risk from agents provocateurs. But the larger the protest is, the more of a statement they're going to make.
Yeah, at this point, I think they just keep it amongst themselves, start heading in a direction, and maybe a few hundred miles before they arrive, tell them this is where we'll be. But the other issue I have right now, this should be probably on display big, you know, by the independent media and whoever, in regards to this situation with Germany, who's going to be at the mercy of the Russian oil and several of the other nations, on just how ridiculous this green policy is, because perhaps if we had those pipelines open that Trump had opened up, as Trump said, we were self-sufficient now on oil, perhaps we'd have the ability now, if something like that happened, to give an ally like Germany to send them some oil, some petroleum.
Yeah.
But with this Green New Deal, we can't even take care of ourselves. And that's all
I want to say,
Michael. Have a good show. Have a great weekend. And regards to Claire.
All right. Well, thank you very much there. And we are going to, I got to skip on down here. Scott in Nevada. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. You hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Last night I was watching True News on BitChute. That's True News with Rick Wiles. And the whole show was devoted to Ukraine. And one thing, lest we forget, over this last weekend, Ukraine started shelling the Donbass region.
Yes.
Then Putin recognized that Donbass and the adjacent one, you know, is independent. And he made a statement. I haven't seen anywhere else, but he made a statement that True News covered. And he said, my aim is to denazify Ukraine.
Denazify. Demilitarize it, yes. He had the two objectives.
So after True News, I found this documentary by Oliver Stone where he's interviewing Putin, and he covered the whole Ukraine thing. It's called Ukraine on Fire. And
yes.
He goes back. He covers very well. In 2014, the U.S. went in there and overthrew the government. And nobody talked about that. Anyway, so, you can see where Putin's coming from here. And then this morning I catch that there's millions of people fleeing Ukraine, and I thought maybe Biden could put a few million illegal immigrants over there to replace them. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, okay, Michael, there you go.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, so I'm watching Deutsche Welle. This is a German language news service last night. It was a live feed, and they just happened to show a rocket that was inside of a children's playground in Ukraine, and this bunch of rocket parts. It just seemed like it looked a little fishy. It looked like they just found a rocket, and they dumped all the parts in the children's playground, because the children's swing was still intact, about, you know, 5 feet away from the actual fuselage.
Yeah,
and there wasn't any crater. So nice try, but there's probably a reason that hasn't gotten any footage. Like I haven't seen that anywhere. So you know, the first casualty of war is the truth.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to find that Chernobyl hit by a missile. I couldn't find anything about that. Apparently, from New Scientist magazine, they think that the increased levels of radiation are from tanks disturbing the dust around Chernobyl. And you got to think that Putin would have this contingency plan to take over
Chernobyl in case there was an agent provocateur, you know, someone, you know, trying to do like Saddam Hussein blowing up oil wells.
Yeah.
This thing has been in a concrete sarcophagus pretty much since, 86? And
yeah,
suddenly
but
all of a sudden...
There are other reactors on the site that have, you know, they started decommissioning them last year, you know, but there's still all kinds of nuclear fuel in them.
Yeah, I mean, but I think Putin would have had that thing taken care of for sure, and you can see pictures of Russian tanks all around it, so we'll see. Another quick story, apparently, if you're 18 to 60 years old, the Ukrainian president is not allowing you to leave
Ukraine. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But
no, they're going to hand them all rifles.
Yeah, and then, but then there's another story the same day. Israel prepares for large influx of refugees from Ukraine, and I bet you a lot of them are going to be 18 to 60-year-old men.
Yeah.
And they also found a 90-year-old Holocaust survivor. He was hiding in a synagogue because he thought the Nazis were coming. I mean, the level of propaganda is off the charts.
Yeah.
So that's all I have for today. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much here. And I'm going to sneak in a little more news here before the end of the show. Speaking of Israel, military tanks and bulldozers have infiltrated the southern Gaza Strip and causing a huge amount of destruction. And let's see. Israel is demolishing the home of a 95-year-old disabled Palestinian woman in the Negev. And meanwhile, in something that the settlers like to do, the Jewish settlers dumped raw sewage on the Palestinian agricultural land in the village of Kusra near Nablus. And, of course, that ruins the farmland. And, again, it's something that we see the settlers do on a regular situation. Now, I mentioned this before on the show, but I'm going to mention it again. Israel has uncorked missiles towards Damascus. They killed 3 soldiers. The Russian Navy has now massed 16 warships near Syria in what may be a message to Israel. And, you know, Israel is going to have to learn how to behave itself. Meanwhile, Israel is actually acknowledging that the Ashkenazi Jews are, in fact, the descendants of the Central Asian Khazars, who came from what is now Ukraine. And a lot of people have said, yeah, the Ashkenazi Jews are not the descendants of the biblical Hebrews. They are the descendants of people who converted to Judaism about 800 A.D., And meanwhile, the U.S. has launched an airstrike against al-Shabaab in Somalia, so we're mucking about in Africa one more time. All right, we are pretty much at the end of the show right now, and there's the music starting there. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Ingrid Casale and John Kaminsky are taking the microphone tonight. Please go out on social media and your email lists and post republicbroadcasting.org. And whatreallyhappened.com. We need to grow our audience and get the truth out there. Please continue to donate. It is really needed right now. Have a good weekend. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back Monday. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party
party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.